Welcome to the Steering Change Podcast, navigating through the commercial transportation industry in Alberta and beyond, powered by the Alberta Motor Transport Association. Here's your host, Josh Hanaberry.
Friends in the industry, I'm your host, Josh Hanaberry, and I want to welcome you back to another episode of the Steering Change Podcast. Over the last couple of years, the transportation industry has been challenged to transform their way of operating by integrating necessary technologies with the goal of improving road compliance. In Canada, for example, federal carriers that did not meet exemptions are mandated to integrate electronic logging devices into their operations, so drivers' hours were recorded automatically and no longer on paper. Another exciting opportunity in the transportation industry is the use of alternative fuels. One that is creating positive conversation is hydrogen fuel, and the opportunities that are being created for carriers to utilize this fuel source instead of diesel or gasoline. Equally as exciting are the companies developing such innovative technologies designed with a more efficient and ultimately safer future for our industry. Which brings us to today's episode, as I'm excited to speak with Rebecca Goldsack, Chief Operating Officer with Diesel Tech Industries, and Robin Betts, Marketing and Communications Specialist here at AMTA. As we dive into Rebecca's journey in the transportation industry, as well as we're going to learn how DTI is driving innovative technologies in the transportation industry here in Alberta and beyond. All right, Rebecca, to start us off, can you share a little bit about yourself as well as your role at Diesel Tech Industries, also known as DTI?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me. So I'm a born and raised Edmontonian. I have literally grown up in the trucking transport industry. My dad is a heavy duty technician. So I remember being at a very young age going and hanging out on the shop on a Saturday morning. And I went to Nate and Grant McEwen, studied business. And then I started my role at Diesel Tech Industries. So I am the COO, Chief Operations Officer. So I am, as quote unquote, the resource person. So I make sure that everyone has everything that they need to get the job done. So anything from hiring a new engineer to reviewing contracts, I do a little bit of everything.
That's awesome. Yeah, when we first had our introduction call, and shout out to Michelle, who we're a big fan of Michelle. She just can't join us today because it's so good. But is it your family's company then, DTI? Robin shared
that. It's a family run company. So it actually started 24 years ago with Diesel Tech Truck Repair. My dad, Darren, the CEO, started it, and it's just been an evolution. So we started as Diesel Tech Truck Repair. And then in 2005, Darren had installed a competitor system and knew at that point that he could make a better positive air shutdown. And that's how Diesel Tech Industries was incepted.
Very cool. Yeah, when Robin shared that, I'm like, I don't know if he told us that, but okay. And that's really cool. We'll dive more into just kind of your journey as a professional in your company. But I just wanted to highlight that because I thought that was amazing. But yeah, it's good to have you here. So thank you. All right, Robin, it is awesome to have you back onto the podcast. I joke that when you're rich and famous, don't forget about your friends. But yeah, it is good to have you back. So can you give us a quick little rundown of yourself as well as your role here at AMTA?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Josh. And welcome, Rebecca. It's so nice to have you on the podcast. When I first met you a few weeks ago in Vancouver, when you'd mentioned that it was your father who had run the company, I felt that. I have my own father who has his own small business, and I've worked for him most of my life. So I really connected with that. But hello to our Steering Change audience. I've been with AMTA a few months shy of a year now. So I've met so many amazing people in our industry through so many of our events and our regional meetings. But for those who I haven't met yet, my name is Robin. I use she, her pronouns. And I am AMTA's Marketing and Communications Specialist. So I help support my incredible team, which I feel so fortunate to have. And our outreach and e-news, our social and the website, our events, and of course the podcast, generally on the back end, but every so often I'm on the front side. And I feel like I have my hands in every single department here at AMTA to help market and spread the good word about all the amazing things our association does every single day. And I'm just thrilled to be here. So thanks again for having me.
Yeah, it is awesome to have you back. And I can see the when you shared that with the family business, when you shared that story with me too, and we were at a convention talking to the flood people with Alberta, and you were talking about like your dad's preparation at his store and stuff. I was like, man, like that goes right into your own blood. So I celebrate that. And it's good to have you back on the podcast. And just, yeah, you do some amazing things here at the association, which I know we're all grateful for.
Thanks, Josh. All right. Well, to start, Rebecca, we are thrilled to have you join us at AMTA's 2024 annual conference happening this April at the 16th to 18th in Calgary. You are on our Future of Industry Roundtable, which is being moderated by AMTA's very own Terry Johnson, who is our Manager of Industry Advancement. And for those who haven't registered yet, our conference is at the Great Eagle Event Center. And on this day that we're recording, our conference is more than 70% sold out. So thank you again, Rebecca. We are really looking forward to having you on that panel.
I'm looking forward to it.
Rebecca, before we dive into some of the specific solutions that DTI is providing to our industry, I wanted to take a moment to discuss your career journey and highlight your role as the COO at DTI. Can you walk us through your career journey and highlight what different roles you've held?
Yeah, definitely. So I started from the bottom. I always joke that being in the transportation industry, I remember I was a parts driver when I was 16, 17, 18, going throughout high school, working the summer. And then I studied that business and I knew I always was going to join Diesel Tech. It was kind of, you know, right from the get-go, that was kind of my initial plan. But I kind of, you know, just started doing small admin work. And just as the years have gone on, I'm really excited that I get to lead the team and make a huge impact to technology for transportation. Our motto has always been driving innovative technology, and it's really exciting to be on the forefront of the leading edge of that. When I was 16, my transmission in my truck broke, and my dad said to me, "Well, if you want it, I'm too busy to do it. You have to take your transmission apart." So he helped me with the gears and stuff, because that would just be very bad if I was changing out those components. But I had to take that transmission apart, and I've always thought that I've been pretty mechanically inclined. I remember going on trips and we'd play the game of what engine is that when you'd listen to an engine. And so I know what an N14 sounds like. I know what ISX sounds like. I know what that Ford F-350 sounds like. So it's funny because I now play that with my own kids. So they actually can get it right quite often. So that's just a bit about my journey.
Amazing. Yeah, it's so incredible to hear those stories of, you know, passing that down throughout the generations. As your company COO, what are some of the most important skill sets you have learned over the years that help you successfully lead your team today?
I guess the biggest one is really that passion. I love that no 2 days are ever the same within our organization. You know, I joke that I don't even know why I have a desk, because I rarely sit at it because I'm either on the road, you know, meeting with clients, but I get to do such a wide array, and I get excited to get up every day and do something that I'm so passionate about. They always say that you should never work a day in your life. And I honestly feel like, you know, I get to do that. I just recently went on vacation and I was excited to come back and do this podcast and get to make this impact. So passion's a big thing for me, and just evolution. You know, what I was doing 5 years ago, I didn't even know what hydrogen was, as an example. And so learning and educating and always evolving, and then that management of, I don't want to micromanage my team. I want to give them the skills and the resources that they need so that they can do their job successfully and not need me to hold hands, because that's not the type of the person that I am.
No kidding. I loved hearing about the passion. I think there are so many incredible people in our industry that are just so passionate. And I think Josh is probably one of the most passionate people I've ever met, especially for this industry. So it's amazing to hear how many more there are. And it's an incredible industry to be passionate about, too. Really making some huge waves. Can you provide an overview of DTI as an organization and provide an overview of the different technologies being offered to support organizations operating in our commercial transportation industry?
Yeah, definitely. So as I was kind of saying before we started on the Guardian, all of our technologies are the Guardian lineup. So we started in the EPAS, so Emergency Positive Air Shutdown System. I know it's a mouthful. That's why we say EPAS. so that system was mainly oil and gas focused. There's over thousands and thousands of them out on the marketplace today. We've got a huge extensive dealer network, and it essentially, diesel engines run on compression ignition. So even though you take a key and put it in your pocket, a diesel engine will literally run away until it explodes if there's hydrocarbons in the air, such as propane, natural gas. So our system automatically senses that, shuts the engine at that predetermined RPM. So that was our flagship technology. I always say it paid the bills, but it was kind of developed. It needed maintenance and stuff to it. So back in about 2016, the ELD mandate was, we were hearing rumors of it in the States, and it was coming down and then into Canada. So we decided to jump on that train. So that's our Guardian E-Log, or electronic logging device, which we are super proud that we were actually first in Alberta, second in Canada to be Transport Canada certified.
Amazing.
And it's always interesting because when we were developing that technology, we actually went out into the marketplace because our engineers didn't want to have to sit in a truck to do the testing and validation. And we found that there was no technology out there that could do that. So we actually developed what we call our Guardian ECM simulator, or as we like to call it, a truck in a box. So our engineers can sit at their desks, simulate what a truck is doing through the protocol system. And that technology was actually sold to the third-party certifiers, as well as a lot of our competition needed to purchase the technology because it was ultimately a great tool that everyone could use. So we're in an interesting business model where we actually sell to our competition. But, you know, those technologies were there. We've also developed technologies such as the Guardian Turbo Timer. So we had a yellow iron company come to us and say, these yellow irons run, you know, 12 hours a day. The operators shut them down. The turbos and systems are all hot. They end up lighting up like a Christmas tree. Can you guys develop something so that it allows that cool down period? And so we took all these systems and did that. And then when you look at all the bases of these technologies, well, my engineers hate when I say it, it's really about reading and interpreting engine data. We've been doing that for the last 15 years. So that was nothing new to us. And then a few years ago now, I had a gentleman contact me just because I had known him through my network. He said, hey, they're creating this hydrogen hub transition accelerator here in Edmonton. I know you guys do technology for transportation. Is this something that you're interested in, you know, having a conversation with them about? So I took that conversation, took it back to Darren and the rest of the team and said, hey, is this something that we're interested? And that's how the Guardian Hydrogen Dual Fuel Technology was incepted, which is our latest technology. And it's very exciting that we were able to launch. And so those are kind of our main Guardian lineup technologies. But really, we're all about reading and interpreting engine data. And, you know, the sky's the limit at this point. It's taken a lot of money and a lot of gray hairs, but we've been able to take several technologies right from that concept to market and taking, you know, existing learnings and build on it to get to where we are today.
No kidding. That all sounds so exciting. It seems like your team is a bunch of just superhuman problem solvers.
And it's great because I always say we have a multidisciplinary engineering team all in-house. So we've got hardware, firmware, software, control process engineers, web developers, mechanical engineers. So I always joke that, you know, I'll talk to a client and they'll say, hey, can you do this? And I'll waltz up the set of stairs and I'm able to then, you know, talk to the people that actually wrote it. So we don't have that huge organization that we can't talk to the person that literally wrote the code for that or that literally did up those drawings. So it allows us to be really agile to what the market needs and get us to our evolution that we're doing.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And I didn't want to interrupt when we were talking about passion because then I squirrel hard and it's one of my favorite words. So thank you for acknowledging my passion. But yeah,
you bet.
I think when someone like Rebecca, you know your business, and growing up in the business, being challenged to actually be hands-on with the business, and I liked what you said, it's hard, like you're not very often at your desk. Because when you can be that passionate about the business and you know the domino effect is literally changing millions and millions of lives. And to me, that's just super exciting. That's one of the reasons why I get super jazzed is just when your give shit factor is really high, amazing things are happening. And that's, I think, really something that becomes like it's addicting and for you, but also for your team, but also for your customers and then for industry. So when I first heard of DTI, it was because of the ELD space. And I was just like, because I worked for a large carrier at the time, and you're just like, oh, what's this? Oh, what is this? Like, it was really exciting following your journey. And then again, the power of LinkedIn, which we talked about initially, like, it's cool just, yeah, reading articles and seeing the information shared. But I did want to highlight the fact that I love that you know your business to that depth, and the confidence you have in your team too, because I think when good ships rise, good ships. And when you can really like speak highly of your team, it allows you to do you, because at the end of the day, you know that they're doing them and it's a safe place. So anyway, I think that's awesome. Another one of my favorite topics is technology. So there's a couple components that you just shared about DTI that I was hoping we could dive into. So specific technologies, one of them being the Guardian ELD. So can you kind of walk us through the different, the different services with this solution? And you also highlighted the states. So I'm assuming that the ELD is certified here in Canada and down south?
Yeah, exactly. So it's certified both in Canada as well as the MCSA American standard. And it's interesting when you talk about, you know, the Guardian ELD, because we've actually found we have a niche market, because, you know, there is big ELD providers out there, but they're really a telematics system. And we found that there's a lot of customers in the service industry that just wanted to have a simple technology to meet the mandate. So we've got bells and whistles. We've got things like, cookie trails and stuff like that. But really, when we started developing the ELD system, we actually gave it to a 67-year-old truck driver that still had a flip phone. And he was actually in here in our office yesterday, and we're just shooting with him. But, you know, it's giving it to somebody that doesn't want technology, that wants the most basic things so that they can meet the mandate. That's where we were coming from for this. So our main market has actually not been, you know, the 400 fleet units. It's the one of the interesting ones that we do is actually the RIB. So you know how they have like the RIB, you know, summer events. We've got that market. It's a weird market to be in, but I love it. It was funny because Kelly was in Toronto. He's our business development guy. And he just happened to walk up a street and he saw one of our customers that had our ELD that was at a RIB Fest thing. And he got to, you know, introduce himself. And I always say, like, so our customer mandate is really the service industry. So we've got, you know, water hauling, electrical organizations. You even got one of the carnivals, which is a cool one to do. That's kind of our niche. And I always say there's more than enough to go around with the ELD mandate, but that's really where we've focused on in making our solution what our customer needs. So I always give the example of, you know, talking about before how I can walk up the stairs and say, hey, but what we had was we had one of our customers that came to us and said, hey, like, I want to be able to know which driver I can send on which trip. We have all that information. So we took that information, put it on a special, reorganized our, you know, chart so that it would show how many hours they had remaining. And that's where we go above and beyond for our customers. Because at the end of the day, I'm not here to sell a technology and say, see you later. Having said that, I'm not going to go after very specific things that are very finite. But if it's something that's going to help the overall industry advance, you know, make their lives easier, and it's something that I can implement, by all means, I am 100% in for evolving and making sure that it's a tool that is help, not a hindrance.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I think far too often when you're providing a service, if you think of it as a transaction, who's on the other side of it knows it's a transaction. But if you see it, how you're breaking it down to me is a partnership. And what does your business actually need? What are the needs of your business? And when we know, like, AMTA serves a huge variety of different types of companies, all shapes and sizes, and a majority of who we serve are smaller demographic. 10 power units are under specialized type services in a certain way, and their business needs are very unique versus, well, I have 500 trucks running these 17 lanes or whatever it is. Like, so knowing that you're partnering with your customers and finding them in niche opportunities like the RIBs, I think that's super awesome, because again, we're all human. And I think sometimes in sales, we forget the human factor, and it's too much about the holy dollar, where it's like, well, you have a family, I have a family. Let's talk about family, or you care about cars, I care about cars. Like, so finding common ground to build trust and partner with, I think is awesome. And then I like that you said like the customization part too, because it's hard when, just speaking from a former safety life, when I was a safety officer or safety manager or whatever, when I was trying to really overcome a problem, and I was talking to someone that I'm like, wow, you're actually trying to understand my problem. You're actually giving me ideas. And yeah, we can customize this. Yeah, we can adjust that. Way better to serve industry and actually create change and impact change versus, no, sorry, this is all you have. Make it work on your end. So I wanted to celebrate that. And it's cool to know this, again, from the start, the vision that your team has had, that you've had, that your father's had, when understanding, well, our industry is changing. We know that laws are changing. This will be a requirement, but it's not just about checking a box. It's about actually being part and a partner. So I just wanted to celebrate that. The another thing that you mentioned too, which I think is very important that we do talk about, is the Guardian hydrogen diesel system. So you mentioned dual fuel. When I was doing a lot of research on it, I love the word retrofit, but can you kind of give an overview of what the Guardian hydrogen diesel system, how it works and what it's all about?
Yeah, definitely. So with our Guardian hydrogen dual fuel technology, that system is allowing you to have calibrated multi-port injection system. So as a piston is going up and down, our system is actually putting hydrogen in to blend with the diesel for optimal efficiency. And so it's got five components to it. It's got the retrofit that gets installed on the engine. We always say that we do this right from what a mechanic or technician's perspective is. So making it as simple as possible to install. There's actually not that many components. It's a spacer plate system. And then you've got your hydrogen cylinders or cage system that actually stores the compressed hydrogen. Depending on the application, you're going to install it either on a Class 8 behind the cab, on a transit bus, you're going to install it on a roof, on the waste, you're going to install it on the roof, or on a motor coach, we actually install it underneath in the luggage compartment. The other component of it is a tablet that sits inside the cab. So that system is really the user interface that the user would be able to see their information, turn on and off the system. It's got a whole bunch of data that it can provide the user as well. And that system has GSM or cell phone service. So what that actually does is actually sends the information that the system has. We're monitoring over 50 different engine parameters. 10 to 15 of them are really the key ones. So boost, throttle, load, temperature sensors, stuff like that. Those are like the key ones. And those are all monitored through the system down to the millisecond. And then that information then gets taken into what we call our Guardian Cloud dashboard. So having the other technology of our e-log system, we actually took all the learnings from that system and adapted it in. So at the end of the day, we always say that we want to provide quantifiable data to our end user. So we want to know how many kilometers were driven, how much hydrogen was used, how much diesel was used, ultimately what your GHG reduction is. And so whether you're a fleet operator that wants to know this information or regulatory body so that you can get some credits, some carbon tax credits. So that's our cloud-based system. And so, yeah, there's those five components that get installed. Our system is a kit format. So we are not doing the installations here in Alberta. We're doing them for the pilots. But we have an extensive dealer network because we have over 600 throughout North America for other technologies. We've got an extensive dealer network, and a big shout out to Velocity, who is one of our partners that will be installing the dual fuel technology, as well as a few partners in other areas in Ontario and other regions. So yeah, that technology is a nice, simple to install system. We've on the Volvo D13, which has been running here for over a year now, we've got 80% hydrogen, 20% diesel at an idle, and about 40 to 50% driving down the highway. So hydrogen is very interesting because it's perfect spot or sweet spot is when it loves that 40% load, which is actually very interesting because when we were developing, I actually forgot to throw this in there. While we were developing the hydrogen dual fuel technology, we found out that a lot of organizations such as municipalities, large carriers, before they could, you know, they wanted to build their business case as to if they could do the dual fuel technology, they needed to have data to say, okay, this is what our average load and stuff was. So we ended up developing the Guardian Fleet Data Logger, FDL, which is provides that information. So it'll show you how much idle time you have, how many kilometers you're driven, what's your average RPM. So all that data analytics that you need for the conversion is also used. So when I say that quantifiable data, I want to see how your truck runs on diesel before I put hydrogen onto it, because every engine's different, every application different, every customer is different in how they use that truck. Even every driver can have an impact on that. So that's where we have that information. So this data then gets kind of collected just running on diesel. And then when they switch to the dual fuel technology, we also have that data analytics as well. So to get back to where I was going. So hydrogen loves that 40% load. It's interesting because a lot of people think that they actually, you know, unless you're going up a huge hill, then you have heavy load. But the average fleet vehicle is at about 40% on average of load. And that's really where hydrogen. So we are very careful on when we're putting that hydrogen into the engine, because we cannot increase the engine temperatures and such. But that's how the precise of when we're putting that hydrogen in, and the timing in length of which we're putting that hydrogen in, is all based on. So there's lots of AI machine learning that goes into the development of this. So when you talk about 2024 and AI and all this cool tech that's coming out, it's being used today in trucks for dual fuel. So it's super exciting that we're on the leading edge of this development.
I think these technologies are so incredible. And I haven't been in this industry long, but the amount of learning that I have ingested over the last like almost year has been so cool. And seeing how these, like how much data can influence like the learnings and the implementations and the, you know, the increase in moving forward of these technologies is just fascinating. And I got the opportunity a few weeks ago to meet, of course, you in BC at our partner organization, the BC Trucking Association, at their Zeering and on ZEV event. And I got to see one of your vehicles up close, and it was so cool to see.
So awesome. Yeah, I was quite envious.
You at that.
I was jealous I didn't get an invite. I would have been there. I could have been your hype guy, but it's all good.
Next time.
Well, and it was neat too. So again, going back to you knowing your business, and I know this is an audio only episode, but we can see each other to power Microsoft Teams, and Rebecca, just seeing your face light up and your hands, I'm just like, oh, I resonate. So cool. So you said a couple things that I want to hit on first. Can you highlight again Velocity in that partnership? Because I did read about that, so I had a note, but do you mind hitting that a little more? What's all entitled, what's allowed publicly being shared, of course.
Yeah, definitely. So it's funny because Velocity, formerly First Truck, has been a partner of ours. They've sold hundreds and hundreds of our ePass systems over the years. So we got connected with them on this specific thing where we met with their team, and they've been a huge, huge cheerleader in this decarbonization. Their team is definitely on the forefront from that service side of it. So they've actually retrofitted their South Edmonton locations. So actually the hydrogen facility, which is super exciting. So they've been a huge advocate of our technology and just as a whole, how we're going to get towards that decarbonization. So we're very excited to partner with them on this project.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah, when I read that, I like doing fist pumps and stuff. I think physical action to celebrate good stuff is fun. And so when I read that, I was like, oh, that's amazing. So no, I appreciate you taking the opportunity to highlight that. The other article that I was reading is the project that you did with Diversified. And when you were talking about with the motor coaches and the storage underneath, can you kind of share a little bit about that experience too, just working with Diversified and what you guys did?
Yeah, definitely. So it's always interesting because when we were doing our market research and, you know, figuring out, you know, how we're going to approach the market and stuff, we said we're going after long haul class 8. That's going to be our customer class. And then David Richards, the general manager of Diversify, came to us. It would have been summer of 2022 and said, we've got these motor coaches and they have a 19-year life to them. We have to keep our assets for that long? There's nothing coming out of the OEMs. Is there something that you can do to retrofit? So we kind of took that away. They have a Volvo D13 engine in these Prevost motor coaches. And we looked at it and said, okay, yes. And the reason why it's such an exciting one is because that same engine that's in that motor coach is in every third of a vehicle that's driving on the QE2. So it's the same engine for both applications. So it's really the plumbing that's just changing for them. You know, we've had a really exciting partnership with Diversified. They've been a huge advocate, you know, for this technology. We've been able to take this out to several different events, demonstrating the technology. And shout out, if you ever want to come and see, you know, the unit live in action, definitely reach out to us and we can schedule you to come to our facility and actually see the engine running. I always say, we've talked about it before and we've never done it, but we should. It's interesting to see when it runs on hydrogen and diesel, how much smoother it sounds, just because it sounds better rather than that like clunky, I don't even say clunky, but it sounds different, you know, running on diesel versus running on hydrogen and diesel. And it's just cool to see the system running. So very exciting partnership with Diversified, and they've been a great organization to work with.
Amazing. Yeah, we're big fans of Diversified as well. So I'm glad that you're having that really exciting opportunity. I normally we wait till the end, but you just made a point. So if someone does, so for listeners right now, they're like, hey, I want to check this out. What's the best way that they reach out to you? Is it through email? And if so, can you quickly share your email? Because it's going to be in the show notes too.
Yeah, definitely. If you want to reach out to me, my email is Rebecca, Rebecca, @dtiguardian.com.
Awesome. So we'll make sure to include that in the show notes. But yeah, that's a great call to action. And I like that it's in the conversation too. So I appreciate that. And some of this ties into the question I wanted to ask next is, again, going back to who we serve as an association, there are a lot of smaller outfits. There's a lot of conversation that I'm in regards to equipment and maintenance and longevity. So the fact that Diversified has that 19-year commitment, it's a very common conversation. So can you kind of give an overview of like the best types of companies? If it's a smaller fleet that's running, say, heavy haul, or if it's a hotshot company or whoever it is, can you kind of give a breakdown of that too?
Yeah, definitely. So for us, it's really anybody with a diesel engine. Specifically, we are looking at tier 4 engines. So anything manufactured after about 2008, just because that's how our system kind of runs, is we need that common rail fuel system in order to do the multi-port injection. And it's really anything diesel powered. So to date, we've mainly focused on on-road applications, but there's things like gensets, light towers, skid steers. There's a wide variety that we could potentially do it on. So to date, we have done Diversified with the motor coach. We've also worked with Creative Truck Performance. Shout out to them. They're based out of Saskatchewan, and they're a Class 8 application with Peterbilt and X13 on it. And then we also have one other exciting, really exciting partnership is with the City of Edmonton. So we are in the process, and you will see it at the Canadian Hydrogen Convention, the both waste unit with the City of Edmonton, as well as their transit units. Right now, they're just going through all the testing and validation in order to make those go on the road, but they'll be on the road shortly here. So all those different applications, it's really a mixed bag. I always joke, you know, as I was saying before, we thought we were going after Class 8. That ended up being the fourth application that we did. So it's exciting because, you know, it can be anything from a return to home base to an in-city carrier to a fleet that drives Edmonton to Vancouver. It doesn't make a difference. You know, it's mainly, we can do it on anything.
And that is really cool because, again, a lot of the conversations that I have, far too often the kind of the preconceived belief is, oh, that's not for me, I'm too small. So hearing that it can be on, if you have a diesel engine, if it's a tier 4 above 2008, I made that note. So I'm not that smart, but I actually wrote that down. So I said it right, I hope. But I think that's really cool because, again, that's who we're targeting and we want to serve the best. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And like, I'll give an example of Creative Truck Performance. You know, he's a small fleet. He hauls fuel. So he doesn't have 50 units, but he's got 10, I think he's got about 10 units. So it can really be anything to, you know, Diversified, which is owned by PWT, that's got 5,000 units. It doesn't make a difference to the size of the organization. It can be anything.
It's amazing. I just had one more question in this space before I give it back to Robin. So when you were talking about, like, say, the construction equipment side, have you had any conversations with the reefer and heater? So you can either, it's like a kit you attach onto a container or onto a trailer. Is that something that's also being explored then?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because actually at the BCTA event, Kelly was mentioning to me that he had been in conversations with one of the reefer organizations about being able to do, you know, those units too. So it's coming down the line for sure.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay, cool. Thanks. I want to make sure I ask that.
It's funny when you're talking earlier about like hearing and seeing the vehicles in person, and especially, you know, a few weeks to the last BCTA event, I would highly encourage everyone to take advantage if they haven't already seen these vehicles in person. To hear these vehicles and hear about them and talk about them is one thing, but actually seeing them and, like, you know, touching them in person is just a whole nother world. I've had the opportunity to see some of our vehicles in person through our AMTA projects and the incredible work that my team and the rest of AMTA is doing. And these new technologies are so cool. So for anyone listening, I would definitely recommend reaching out to Rebecca about actually seeing these. Super cool. Rebecca, some of the feedback we at AMTA have heard as we discuss various industry advancement projects, such as the hydrogen testing projects, is the solutions are only designed for the mega carriers and not for the smaller fleets. What are your thoughts on this? Do you see DTI solutions being utilized in smaller fleets operating in Alberta and beyond?
Yeah, definitely. You know, this is actually where dual fuel is actually better than, you know, EV, because one of the big things that we've seen throughout doing our analysis is, you know, hydrogen fuel cell vehicles, yes, they will come on the market. Yes, there is a need for them. EV, it's got its own issues with the load and weight and that kind of stuff. But the nice thing about dual fuel technologies is it's a cost-effective now solution. So fleets that are smaller can keep their existing asset. They're not paying triple the amount. A hydrogen fuel cell vehicle, from what we've heard, is, you know, $600,000. Well, you can go down to your local dealership and pay $200,000 for diesel-powered units. So vehicles from 2019 versus what you're going to pay for them in 2024 are very different. Fleets are going to keep their assets longer because those vehicles just cost more. So as this kind of evolution comes with dual fuel technology, that's really where, even if you're a small fleet, you can do this on your application and you don't have to go buy new assets. So it doesn't make a difference whether you're a small fleet or a large fleet.
That's incredible. Really making these technologies accessible to all. And are there any incentives available for the small fleets to utilize?
Yeah, definitely. So the big one that they are offering is, it's done through NRCan, which is called the Green Freight Program, Stream 2. So that'll actually cover 50% of the retrofit cost. It brings, I would say, the return on investment, because when you're doing dual fuel technology, all your issues with the emission system. So we've done an analysis over a 5-year period. An average fleet spends about $185,000. If you think of $15,000 a year for DEF fluid, changing out your cans every 3 years at $25,000, cleaning of your cans every 6 months, all those costs add up. So your return on investment with the Green Freight Program is within 18 months with our technology. So really exciting.
No kidding. The future is here. Throughout our conversation, we've discussed a couple of the solutions DTI has deployed in the transportation sector, which is shifting the future of our industry. How will DTI continue to help shape the future of our industry moving forward?
Definitely. You know, we are on the leading edge. So if you would have told me 3 years ago that I would be in the dual fuel space, I would have probably laughed at you. Our team is very agile. We know that there's lots of up and coming things. One thing, you know, you can mention is we understand that this is a bridging technology. Our system can only go about up to 80% hydrogen before you're having to you know, replace heads and do major engine work, because the system needs spark to be able to do the hydrogen, and there's a whole bunch of other components. So that's where we have the goals to go to 100% hydrogen engine that, you know, has a retrofit for that application. But we're always on the leading edge. We're always listening to what our clients and what industry is needing to develop different technologies. So we had another customer come to us and say, hey, can you come up with a solution for this? More than willing and able. And we know that it's a very up and coming market. It's forever changing, and we're excited to be part of it.
Yeah, I think you touched on a great point there, that you have to be agile in this industry. It's, you know, this technology is so fastly evolving, and you got to be ahead of it. That's amazing. And I would like to touch on, as a female leader in our industry and someone that is well respected, what advice would you give and share with other women trying to carve their path in this industry and navigate their career in transportation?
Oh, that's a loaded question. That's an awesome question. It really comes down to educate yourself. I've been at a boardroom table where everyone at that table was old enough to be my father, and everyone at that table was male. But it's always interesting, because I've had that conversation where they're like, I didn't know you knew this much stuff. And it comes down to that education, right? Know what you're talking about, be confident in what you do know, and know your worth, because that is really what's going to make that impact. When I talk about my why to this, it's my kids. Right? It's, I'm gonna cry over that. Jeez. My son, I was driving him to school the other day, and he says, Mom, do you have an extra engine at work? I want to start rebuilding it. He's 8, right? It's this next evolution of his, he's so mechanically inclined, and the things that he's building, and he's really got, I always joke that he's got Papa's personality, because, you know, what he's going to bring to the table, what he's going to develop or invent is beyond what I could even imagine. So as a female, you know, coming into this, there was actually last year at the Canadian Hydrogen Convention, they did a Women in Hydrogen event. And I was talking to this, you know, one lady, and she was saying, yeah, like, we're not quite sure when we're going to have kids. And I said to her, I said, there is no right time. I said, I'm either giving 110% to my work or 110% to my family. I said, that Canadian Hydrogen Convention, I was out of the house at 6:30 in the morning, and I didn't get home until 10 o'clock at night, because I was literally at that event, and it was 8 p.m. and hadn't seen my kid in 3 days. But at the same time too, I'm the first person that's going to go to my son's field trips. So there's a balancing act. You're never going to have that equilibrium, and understanding and knowing that that's going to happen is a big thing that plays into this, because I'm 110% personality. And they always say, give something to the busy person. That's me. I'm the lady that's the chair on my son's school council, because I want to make sure that I have an impact across all facets of my life. And that's really where people say, when do you ever sleep? And I'll sleep when I'm dead. That's my personality. I love networking. I love communication. So it's not about who you know. It's about who they know that can then connect you. And it's a two-way street. You know, I had one of my contacts the other day said, hey, there's someone that's going to the U of A that's finishing their mechanical engineering. They're interested in getting into clean tech. Can you have a conversation with them? Do I have the time in my day? Probably not. But at the same time too, I'm bringing up that next generation into this. And I'm super excited that I get to be part of taking, you know, I always say, you've got all these people that go to school, but I want to make sure that they're able to go to the next level and take all those learnings that they've done through school and bring it to the next level. And so networking is a big thing, knowing balance, and just having that passion for knowing and doing your research and making sure that you have the information is a big thing to this too. I totally went off on a tangent there. Sorry about that.
No, that's amazing. I mean, I'm a little bit biased, but I think women are so freaking cool. And seeing more women in leadership positions, especially in the transportation sector and this industry, is just amazing. And that passion is so amazing. I love to see it.
I agree. I was going to say, if you ever wondered, why should I go to AMTA's conference? It literally is to hear Rebecca talk. So
no the, kidding.
When you did that little, oh, I'm going to cry. I had like that weird shiver feeling. And I'm like, oh, Josh, you're listening. Don't cry. So man, that's so powerful. I appreciate the authenticity and the honesty too, because I think sometimes we put on this face at work. And actually our communication manager right now is out in Ontario at a conference. And she shared, I'm actually going to read this quote that she shared, because it's something that we talk about all the time when we're talking about being ourselves. So I'm just going to open up quickly, but it says, "The way to belong is to be yourself." And I think what you just highlighted, like, you got to know your stuff. You got to be educated. You got to be hungry. You got to be passionate, but you have to show up as yourself, I think, is so important. And that's something that we're coaching our team all the time too, is like, trust is built off consistently being yourself. And when you know yourself and you know that you're high energy, come across high energy then. Don't be overly conscious or subconscious of not. So I just want to celebrate though, you as a person, you as a professional, being a woman in industry, but also being a kick-ass mom. I think all of that is super awesome. So, but before we do end today, we're kind of at that point of conversation. Was there anything else, Rebecca, that you would like to share, as well as, I know you dropped your email earlier, but if you don't mind just sharing it one more time, that way if people want to get a hold of you, they know where to go.
Yeah, awesome. So my email once again is Rebecca, Rebecca, at dtiguardian.com.
Perfect. And were there any final words that you wanted to share before we end today?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Second of all, I hope to see everyone at the AMTA conference. And please do not hesitate to reach out to me and the rest of our team here. We'd be more than happy to answer your questions and educate you on the exciting things that are happening here in Alberta.
Awesome. Yeah, so your email will be in the show notes, and so is the link to conference. And yeah, please do reach out to Rebecca though, if it's an opportunity for you or someone on your team to go to the shop. I know I want to. I'm going to ask our guy Chad to make sure that he also gets a chance to stop by. But yeah, thanks Rebecca. Really appreciate you joining us today. Robin, my friend, I know you had the opportunity last podcast to bring us home and to finish us off, so I'm going to ask the same. Was there any final words that you wanted to share?
Absolutely. I mean, first, I just want to thank both you, Josh, and you, Rebecca, for this awesome conversation. I had so much fun on this one. And I also want to give a shout out again to how amazing it is to see more women like you, Rebecca, in this industry making such positive and impactful changes. This technology that's coming out is so incredible. And I mean, coming out, it's already here. And once again, we're really looking forward to having you on our Future of Industry Roundtable at our annual conference in April. It's not something to miss. So for those who are interested in attending, you can find all the information and register at amtaconference.ca. As Josh mentioned, the link will be, of course, in our show notes. And thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Yeah, you both did an amazing job. And I love that we were able to speak to our entire industry, not just a component of industry. I think that's so important. And I love that that's been in the forefront of your family's business. And yeah, just thank you again for taking the time. Robin, you did amazing as always. And yeah, we're excited to see you at conference. So have a wonderful day.
Thank you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of AMTA's Steering Change Podcast. The views expressed by guests of the Steering Change podcast are their own and may not reflect the views of AMTA, its hosts, or sponsors. Do you have a question that you would like answered on an upcoming episode of the Steering Change podcast? We want to hear from you. To submit a question to the Steering Change mailbag, hit up our DMs on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram with the hashtag Steering Change, and your question will be answered either live on the podcast or by one of our SMEs here at AMTA. We ask that you share this episode with those in your network that could benefit from what we discussed today, and make sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you can be notified when future episodes are released. You can learn more about us and our mission by visiting www.amta.ca. Now get out there and have a safe day.